So we started the second parak.
Yesterday I gave the shiur.
Oh, excellent. Okay,
myself.
Good. Very good.
I did.
Did everyone get to that Mishnah, or should we learn it together? Went to the Mishnah first? You went to the Mishnah?
I did, but I don't know.
Okay, so everyone saw the Mishnah. Okay. So let's pick up still on Chafon Beis, the bottom. Two lines down in the Gemara, which says, Tanan Hasam, it quotes the Mishnah. It's not really connected to our Mishnah. It just has to do with an Ohel. So it's Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah Olos, as the Gemara quotes it, Echad Chor Shecharu Mayim. That's the water had made some hole in the ground, like on the edge of a river. Imagine there's some pictures here. Let's take a look. Let's get another chair. That was my fault.
Harry, here, there's another chair.
Okay, so we're looking at we just quoted the Mishnah, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Olos. And again, the first case is Echad Chor Shecharu Mayim. So the edge of the, I have a like, nice little picture here where some water made a little hole in the edge of the stone, the mountain that goes into the water. See that picture? That everyone got a picture? Okay, fine, great. That's the first case. Or osharotzim, or it's certain types of bugs. Osha chalsum maleches, the salt started eroding the ground in such a way. That's the next picture, a little dirt. See a little rat in there? A little picture of rat. And then, nice, right? And then you see the little dry land, the salt breaks away. Then any of those areas which have holes in the ground, v'chein midbach avanim, or if there's a pile of stones and the brick kind of moves away and there's a little space in between, a little bit of a hole, v'chein sor shakoros, or a pile of wood, same type of case there, all these pictures are here. All those different cases, ma'ayil al-tumah. It creates an ohel that if there's some type of tumah in that little cavity, and there's somebody standing there in that ohel with this tumah, touching the tumah, he's going to become tameh from being in the ohel of the tumah. Okay, that's according to the Tanakhama of this Mishnah from Olos. Comes along with Yehuda Omer, kol ohel she'ena asli bidei adam ein ohel. He says anything that is naturally made is not considered an ohel, it has to be created by man. So according to this, the examples of when the salt eroded the ground or the water chipped away at the mountain, those cases will probably be, that's bidei shemayim, that's not bidei adam. So too, the case where the sheretz digs in at the hole, that's also not bidei adam. Now the case of the bricks and the beams pile on top of each other, I'm not sure if that would be considered bidei adam or not, because I assume the adam put them together. I'm not sure if it was moved over by the person or not. So I'm not sure if that is considered bidei adam or not. So Rashi says, bidei adam, very last line here, bidei adam miskaven lasos ohel, only when a man intended on doing that. So lechor, that case of the beams, the pile of boards and the pile of, he didn't plan on doing that, that also would not be considered an ohel. So according to Rashi, Yehuda argues in all of these cases, it has to be where he intended on making it this way. So Mar asks, in my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what was the reason of Rabbi Yehuda that he said that it has to be a bidei adam? So the Gemara says, very apropos to this week's Parsha, Pasuk says, Yolif Ohel Ol Mi Mishkan. He has a Gzer Shavah. It says Ohel by Tumas Ohel. And it says in Parsha's Para, that's Parsha's Chukas, we'll be reading in a few weeks, Parsha's Para. Uksiv Hacha Zosa Torah Adam Kiyamus Ba'ohel. It says in Parsha's Chukas, when a person dies in an Ohel, that's where we learn Tumas Meis Ba'ohel. Uksiv Hasam, it's written there in the context of the Mishkan, Vayifros Esa Oel al Mishkan, and he, Moshe Rabbeinu, he spread the oil on top of the Mishkan. Right, that pasuk is found in, is it this week's Parsha, I think? It's around these Parsha, I'm not sure if it was last week or this week, but I think it's this week's Parsha, Parsha's Pekudeh. So he spread the oil on top of the Mishkan. So we see Oel Ohel, Mala Halan Bidei Adam, just like there by the Mishkan, it was a cloth that was made Bidei Adam, they wove it together. So afkam bidei adam, so too when it comes to tumas ohel, has to be an ohel made by man, as opposed to if it was made by a rat or made by the water, that doesn't qualify as an ohel. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. So interesting medrash in this week's parsha points out, the medrash writes that the Mishkan was actually stood up al yidei nes, and not bidei Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though the pasuk says vayifros al haMishkan, in fact it was al yidei nes that stood up. That's the case. The ohel of the Mishkan was actually not made by man, it was made bidei shemayim. That's the question they answer. So they suggest that maybe it's possible that only the walls went up. It was too heavy for Moshe to pick. The walls went up Aydenes, but to spread the cloth on top of the Mishkan, that was Bidei Adam, Bidei Moshe. That's how they get out of this. Okay, the Gemara goes further and says, now what about the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon who say even an Oel that was naturally made or made by some other way? Yeah.
Definitely the mice, I'm sure, Moshe. It's just that it was impossible to do by itself, by himself, and it just...
So, but once the mice didn't do it...
Hashem was his partner, probably.
But you're saying they did it together, but Shutvis.
I think so. I mean, he just then said, you know, he didn't say abracadabra.
Right. I don't know. I just see the Medrash quoted back here. I don't know.
I don't think that even he did it. It was the manager with the...
Vitala?
No, but it's just clear that Moshe...
The rest of the
nation. There are many
Midrashim.
The
Amisal did that. Do a project today, so all the people help out.
Yeah, but they said Moshe Rabbeinu himself was the one who placed the on top of the Mishkan, the various...
Because the Mesorah, it was Moshe alone who did the whole thing.
There is such a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that Moshe alone built everything?
There was a whole, many Mepharsim that Moshe himself did it, and...
I don't know. Okay. Could be. I know, it's very possible. I don't know.
I mean, I remember reading a few places that was an ace that Moshe by himself did it.
It's definitely possible. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe you're right.
No, but not big Teva, you know, the Kabbash of Humanik Dolam.
So now the Gemara continues and says, Rabbanon, Ohel, Ohel, Reba. Rabbanon said, no, so the Pasuk says, Ohel, Ohel. I guess it says the two different places. Rashi says, top line, Ohalim. The Pasuk says, Ohalim, Tuvak, Sivi, but Parsha Para. It says, Ohel, a number of times in Parsha Para. So therefore, the Rabbos, Af, Ha'asim, Me'elav, according to their Rabbanon. That anything, even if it was made by the water, made by the rats, anything that was made as an Ohel, is going to serve as an Ohel.
Like a Betuma.
Exactly. Now, Gemara continues and says, "V'sara Rabbi Yehuda, kol ohel she'enu asa bidei adam eno ohel." Is it really true that any ohel that was not man-made is not going to be considered an ohel? We're minu. They ask the following question from a Mishnah in Paro, getting very deep into Tumah V'Tahara now. Chatzeros hayu benuyas b'Yushalayim agave esela. They built the courtyards in Yushalayim on top of rocks. V'tachdeim. Chala, below these chatzers, below these courtyards, was a cavity. They made kever out the home. So what's going on here? The pictures I have, you see the pictures of the little archways? This is actually what it looks like when you walk down the shuk, or you go in the kota tunnels. You see all these archways. The way it was actually built, there's stone below, and then these archways, they built all the villages, all the houses on top of the archways. Like, if you go through the shuk to the kotel, you see all these archways underneath it. And that's how a lot of the Arab shuk is like that. And if you go even below that, even more archways. So it was built on this way on purpose. So why was it built this way? Because Mipnei Kever Atom. What's Mipnei Kever Atom? So Kever Atom is there was a concern that perhaps, the Lashon Kever Atom means whenever there's a Safek Tumah. So there's a Safek that perhaps below the stones, which was the ground floor, there was a mace there that may have been buried.
Now the Tumah is forever? If this is a mace forever.
As long as the right shear is there. Once it decays to a certain point where it's no longer a shear, so then not, but as long as there's a bone, etzem kisaora, though a shear is, a bone the size of a barley, then it's going to be mitame. So there's concern that perhaps below the stone floor was a tumas mace. Now, we mentioned before, earlier in the Masechta, in the first parak, that in order to contain the tumah, you need to be in some type of box, a cavity that has at least a tefachai. So if the mace is, you know, there's a tefach, a space in between the body and the top of the little container, then the tumah won't go out. But let's say it's flat against the top of, let's say, a coffin, it's flat against the mace. There's no tefach room, it goes right through. So there's a concern that the stones, which were serving as the ground, were mamish on top of the mace. So the mace is going to go right through the stone. So they had to build these arches to allow for the tumah to stay below there, and the chatzeres on top of that, and any of the chatzeres on top of these archways were completely protected from the tumah.
So they did double so that at any certain place there was more than a tefach.
Exactly. Because
if you do only one by the columns, you can have a bed by the column and it goes up.
Exactly. Exactly. So why do they do all this, though? So again, the Mishnah continues. V'tachtem chala mipnei kevratom. U'mivin nashim ubros. And the women, when they were pregnant, would go there, v'yoldos sham, and then they would give birth, u'megadlos b'neim sham l'para, and they raised their children there to be part of the para duma process. Okay, so let's go, before we go further, why we're bringing this, a lot of interesting details that come out of here. So firstly, if you remember back in the beginning of Masechas Yuma, so they had a machlokas sedukim, and you know, Klal Yisrael, whether a Tful Yom was allowed to perform the Paraduma. Tful Yom was someone who was Tame, went to the mikvah, but didn't wait for Shkias HaChama yet. So he needs to wait for sunset to be completely tar. But he did wait. He was still called Tful Yom. Now, in terms of turning certain...
Tame on purpose, right?
Exactly, on purpose, just to show against the Tzedukim. So we hold Tful Yom was allowed to do Paraduma. They thought not. So we Dafka made the Kohen Tame and had to go to the mikvah to be Tful Yom to prove against the Tzedukim. Rav Shachter actually quoted this recently in the Tshuva, if anybody saw about women wearing tefillin. He proved this, that when you're going against the different parties, let's say the conservatives, you go the opposite extreme, even though it's, you know, it's you know, perhaps okay, you have to go the opposite extreme to show against the Tzedukim, so too he proved in terms of a woman wearing tefillin, but that's just as an aside. So, therefore, a Tful Yom was allowed to do, and they did, the Paraduma. Now, they had to do extra precautions because of that, since they allowed Tful Yom, they had to compensate and have other chumras, which types of kalim they were allowed to use, a whole list of things they were being very, very careful when it came to Paraduma. So, one of the extra levels they did was...
Sure, yeah. But they already had it for a para, so why would they have to be careful? They could just, if they were Tamil, they would just be tired themselves.
No, let's say they didn't have any Afer Para left. And at certain times, they didn't have Afer Para.
So this isn't the case where they didn't have, if they found a Paraduma, but they didn't have an Afer Para.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So, one of the things that they did was, they made sure the children never get cat and touched, never touch any Tumah. So these, when they found the Paraduma, they bring the children up and the women to give birth there and to stay completely tar. And Rashi says the end is long Rashi Mavin. The Rashi towards the end quotes a Tosefta there. It's around like 10 narrow lines up. He says, Tosefta Shaninu, Adshu B'nei Shiva, B'nei Shimon, until they get to 7 or 8 years old, Shanim Megadla no son v'lo Yoser, not more than that, Shalo Yoro Keri. They don't want any Tumah at all. So there's no Tumas Keri because they stay so young. And Tosus continues. Look at Tosus in Muvin Nashim Ubrus Violdos. Tosus says, "Afa pisha yu tinokos tmeim benida violdos." What do you mean? They're still tumas nida. Their mothers are nida. Mothers are yoledes, and they're going to make the children tame. Lo ayu choshishin. They were not so concerned with that tuma. Ela l'shomer mi tumas mace. They only concerned with tumas mace. Dibay haza because it's a high level. And mi tumas hayotz migufo kigon balkei. A tuma that comes out of your body is more severe. There are two types of tumas. There's tuma yotz migufo.
That's also surprising because the Valkyrie can go to regular mikvah and doesn't need the Farapar.
That's fine, but there are still chumras. Even though it's easy to retire, there's still a big chumra when it comes to Tumas Keri because it's Yotze Megufo. There are two categories of Tumah. Tumah Yotze Megufo, which is a Valkyrie himself, a Nida herself, a Yoledes. And there's Tumas Maga, which is things are not, which not you yourself are inherently Tame, but you touch something else. You touch a Sheret, you touch a Neveh, you touch a Mace. There are two different categories. Okay. Now, going further in Tosos, still going with, doing good with time here, Tosos continues and says, Kiditanya, B'tosefta shayu megadlin osan achiu b'nei shiva shanim o shimon v'lo yoser shlo yiru kera afan. Nuktas tema, yes. I have a little bit of a question here. Ma mo mil ze, what good does a 7 or 8 year old do in terms of lifting and drawing the water for the tumas for the Afer Para? Shayu memal mitinoko sof ba'inan ish b'shas kiddush v'shenosun ha'efer b'mayim o'b'shas hazah. So fine, the child brings up the water, but lemaisa a man is going to have to put the water in the ashes. So the fact that you kept this child completely tar when the man who's over 13 does it, he already wasn't kept tar. So what good is it doing there? And Tosa answers v'yesh lomar, 2 lines from the bottom of that Tosos. We do the best, whatever we can do, we could do. But obviously we can't fix every problem. But at least when it came to the drawing of the water, that we are allowed to have a child to do it in the state of being tahor. And then the stages that come next, then you have to rely on a regular man to do it.
What does it mean? Mishum ma'ale de kula milta ma'ale ve'alma.
Which one, sorry? Oh.
Yeah,
he says, V'yesh lomar d'masha yachol l'sakim m'sakinan. Whatever we could do. Mishum mala d'kula milsa mala ba'alma k'disa b'resh. Any level we do, it's just like a mal ba'alma. It's like a chumr ba'alma. Like a general, a good thing. But it's not like ma'akiv. It's a nice little thing to do. But don't make a big deal of it. Anyway, so for these reasons, they built the archways on top of the cella. In case there's a tumas mace below, they have these archways, and on top they would have these chatzeros where the mothers would give birth and raise the children for 7 or 8 years. The Mishnah continues and says, "Umavin shvarim," they would bring oxen, V'agabeim delosos. On top of these oxen, there are doors. You see the pictures there, like a flat door. V'tinokos yoshin agabeim, and the children would sit on top of these doors, which were on top of the ox. V'kosos she'evin biyodein, they had these stone cups, which would not become tame. Higilu shiluach, they got to the area where they draw the water. Yardu l'toch hamayim umilun.
Where are you?
In the Mishnah, in the Gemara, quotes from the Mishnah and Parah.
It's following also here exactly,
oh,
word
see,
by word.
But what is this here?
Okay, so again, v'kosos she'evin biyodein, and they had stone cups in their hand. Stone cups won't become tame. Higilu l'shiluach, they got to the water. Yardu l'toch hamayim, the children would go down to the water. Umilum, then they'd fill up the pails. V'alu v'yashru lahem, and go back on top of the ox. And according to Rabbi Yossi, Omer, mimkom haya mishalsha, they would stay in place on top of the door from where they were. And mishalshel, they would lower down the pail. Umimala b'mnei kevertom, and they would draw the water. So machlokes, Rabbi Yossi and Tanakama, whether the tinok would at mamish get off and go into the water, or he would stay where he was to draw the water. So, Pashas is, machlokas is, as according to Tosos, whether you have to get down or not, is whether we're concerned there might be tumas tahom right where you were. Tumas hakev, right where they were. Tanakama thought, no, in that area where the water was, unlikely there's a tumas mace there, you could get off. And Rabbi Yossi thought, maybe even there is perhaps tumas mace, so you should stay on top. And what happened was that door served as a ohel, because it was wide enough. That was the point. And Rashi is a little bit more of a fundamental machlokas. He thinks, you look at Rashi, yardu l'toch hamayim umilum. This is four narrow lines from the bottom of Rashi. Kesavar haitana miloi ba'inan v'lo mishal shebechevel. It's not a technical reason that you make him go down, that we allow you to go down. Actually, fundamentally, you have to lift it up. Yishal shel is too, you need the yad ha-katan, yad ha-ish to pull it out. You can't have a yishal shel to lower it down. You have to mamash go in there and fill it up. You need more of a maisa, according to Rashi. Tosa asks a couple of questions, but that seems to be, that is a machlokas Rashi. Tosa us why he goes down into the water. Now, continuing the Mishnah still, we haven't gotten to the question. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, lo hayu mevin delasos, you don't need these doors. Ella, shvarim, the oxen are enough. Why? So Rashi explained, you see the last narrow line of Rashi, Ella shvarim, shekrisim rechawas, very fat ox. V'tinokos yoshra len, and the child sits on top. V'krisim mafsik, and it separates in between the person, the child, and the below. And mafsik she'enten nitinokos ma'alin al ha'aretz. Okay, so that's the machlokas, whether or not the ox is enough. So now in light of this,
But, one second, so an ox does not get tumas mes.
Ox does not get tumas mes.
An animal doesn't get.
Correct.
So they're saying that the animal is doing a chatzitza between the tekis.
Right. So now what's the question? The Gemara says,
"V'hush." It's only because it's fat. If it would be just skinny and
has to be wide enough to be an ohel, whatever the width of the ohel is.
Because tumas ohel goes up. There's no shear.
Unless it's an ohel, unless it's below an ohel.
I'm saying there's no shear on how high it goes.
Once it's nothing in the way, it goes up al rakia.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So then the Gemara says, "So what's the question from this Mishnah in Para?" The hashvarim, the ohel, she'enu asli bide adam. Oxen are not man-made, of course.
So who said that they put the boards on top?
The Tanakama. Correct. Where question is, according to Rabbi Huda, who did not require the door, enough to have a fat ox. The hashvarim, the ohel, she'enu asli bide adam. Oxen are not naturally made. Yet, v'katani, Rabbi Huda Omer, lo'ayu mevin, delasos el shvar. But yet, Rabbi Huda himself says, we don't need the doors, it's enough to have the ox. Rabbi Huda above said, an ohel has to be b'de'adam. He learned it from the Mishkan. Just like the Mishkan was made, Moshe put it up himself, so too when it comes to Tumas ohel, only when it's man-made, to exclude all the cases of the water and the rats. So why then by the ox, does he consider it to be an ohel? It's not man-made, the ox. That's the question. So, ki asir of Dimi, Amar Elazar, Mod Rabbi Huda, ki mali egrof, he agrees when there's a mali egrof, when there's a lot of space in between, then he'll even allow for a non-man-made ohel. When it comes to man-made ohel, only if it's a tefachai, the minimal amount, you have to be man-made. If it's mali egrof, which Rashi says, Kamali Egrof, you see that five wide lines down. Ohel Shirachov Kamali Egrof, it's that wide. Shu Yosemi Tefach, it's a little bit more than a Tefach. It's a full hand, I guess. It's a little bit wider than a Tefach. Then he'll agree it could even be non-man-made. That will suffice. And Gemara says,
Rabbi
Huda would allow.
But an axe, it's a non-made.
Right. So since there's more than, there's a Mali Egrof between the stomach and the ground, then he'll allow even a non-man-made ohel. Only when it's exactly a tefah.
But the axe is more than a tefah.
Right.
But the axe is non-man-made.
No, but if the ohel itself is more, if the ohel is a Mali Egrof, it's so big, which is not so big, but it's bigger than a tefah, then he'll allow a non-made man.
Not an axe. Man-made.
Anything that's done by nature, if it's more than a tefach, that would agree that it's...
Only if it's exactly a tefach, it has to be man-made only. But more than that, once a Mali Egrof, any type of ohel works.
That's such a... Come on, I mean, what are the chances that it's exactly a tefach? If it's less, it's not an ohel. If it's more... was that a brisa or a mishnah?
That was a brisa commenting on a mishnah.
Okay, I don't know. And this is how it stays?
Yeah.
All right.
And the Gemara brings a proof for this, that Tanya Nami Hachi, Modi Rabbi Huda Bishakifin Ubenakifin Haslam. Rabbi Huda will agree that you could use any type of ohel when it comes to what Shakifin Rashi says, Slime Hanofin Umisparkin Beruach, like boulders that fell off the side of the mountain with the wind. There's a large hole, a cavity left in the mountain that seemingly is larger than a tefach. It's a Mali Egrof. There he will agree this naturally made mountain, this ohel, will be considered an ohel. And so too when it comes to the case of Nakiki, which Rashi Bikuin, which is big cracks in the mountain, even though they're naturally made, he'll consider that to be an ohel. A very interesting question is posed in the Rishonim here. It's a well-known Sefer Rokeach that writes, an Eishes Kohen, who's Muberes. So Eishes Kohen, she's pregnant. She's allowed to go into an Ohel Meis. That's just wants to go to the Beis Kfaros. The big shot, Mishnah Berurah says a pregnant woman shouldn't go into Beis Kfaros in general. The question is, why not? So if she's an Eishes Kohen, well, she might be carrying a boy, and the boy is a Kohen, then you can't be Ohel, can't be in a Tumas Meis. So Rokeach is quoted as saying one's allowed to because the suffix whether it's a zachar in a cave in the first place. And if it's a zachar...
We're talking about Eishes Kohen, right?
Right now, Eishes Kohen. Forget in general, but Eishes Kohen. We're machmir, even many are machmir, others say not to, but some are machmir even by a regular, Eishes Yisrael and Eishes Levi.
It's face fake.
Right. So but the sex sake of an Eishes Kohen is either it's a zachar in a cave. If it's a zachar, it might be a nephil. It might be a stillborn. So since it's sex sveka, we're allowed to... Eishes Kohen, Muberes, can go into a Beis Kfaros. Now, Achorim say, if you know it's a Zachar, though, so then it's only one Sufik, and you would not be able to go into Beis Kfaros, that would only be one Sufik, it wouldn't be a Sfek Sveka.
But you don't say Sfek Sveka on something that's going to be clarified later.
Efshir Lishal Badas, idea of them, right. That comes up, no, that's only when you can ask at the time, whether you know at
moment,
the time. Right,
so
exactly.
Nowadays, it would
right.
be Sfek Sveka.
Right, since you can find out what it is. Some say you have to find out. Since you're able to find out, exactly. So that's a discussion. Every Eishes Kohen, every Kohen husband has a Shiloh, whether he should find out. If the wife has to go to Beis Kfaros, whether you should find out about it or not. So,
Are you allowed to find out?
Yeah, you're allowed to find out, yeah. The only thing you lose by finding out, I was told, that if you do find out, you can say the bracha. When you have a boy, you say a tov meitiv. When you have a girl, you say a shechianu. If you know what it is beforehand, you can't say bracha because you're not so excited because you know what it is already. It's when it's born, it's a boy, it's a girl, you get this excitement, you say bracha. But if you know already beforehand, you can't say bracha when you find out because the baby's not born yet. But you can't say it when it's born because that simcha is not so much there anymore. Now, they ask, according to this, though, if it's a sfek sveka, and it's a concern, so... why only when they're ready to give birth did the women go on these chatzeros? Even when they're pregnant, the moment they got pregnant, they should go on top of the chatzeros. And they should wait there because while they're pregnant, there's a concern they may have walked over an area that was a tumas meis, and the child may have gotten tame. It might have been a zachar, and if it's a zachar, it may have been not a nephil.
Do we hold like that? Do we hold that the uber is metame? So let's say the mother... Let's say the mother becomes tame, and then it does tefillah help or it doesn't help or the whole.
We say it's called tumas the tumas ablua, it's called, right? It's absorbed in something else. So we do say, I believe we say tumah is there. Let's see. So the Achiezer writes as follows. Achiezer says, according to Rokeach, the ubra will not become tame because of its tumah belua. It won't be, since it's completely enclosed. However, he says, still there's an isser of tumas mace, even when there is no tumah.
Meaning there's an isser just to be exposed to tumas mace.
Correct. So you're not, when it comes to Kohen, in addition to Kohen becoming tame, he also violates an isser becoming tame.
Uh-huh.
So it comes to these people, these mubaros, which are, let's say, not Kohanim. So if there's a son who's a Yisrael, he's not going to become Tameh, and there's no Isser either because he's not a Kohen. It only comes to a Kohen is there going to be an Isser at play as well. There's never an issue of Tumah. That's how he gets out of it. Others say that once we knew that they became pregnant, we tell her to go before 40 days, because before 40 days, the child is not completely conceived yet or created into something considerable. So there's no problem. Only after 40 days is he considered a problem or considered something chashiv, and then tumah would be a problem. So before 40 days, we tell her to actually go there. And others, there's a fascinating answer quoted from the Chidri Adas. Chidri Adaya says that based on the case of Ben Ashunamis, that when Elisha revived the son, it was a Bria Chadasha. Even though he was tumah, he was mace, once you revive them, it's a Bria Chadasha, tumah goes away. So, too, even if you want to say there was tumah inside the Mubaris, when the child is born, it loses tumah because it's a Bria Chadasha. I'm not sure why you wouldn't say the same thing by the case of the Rokeach as well. The Kohen's tumah, and this is an Isser at the time, when it's...
the case of the
Rokeach with the Ashes Kohen, she can't go to the can't go to the base Kvaros. So we say it's a Bria Chadasha, so what's the big deal?
Right.
When she's born, it's no longer tumah. But unless you say there's still an Isser, you're right, there's still an Isser for bringing the child into the base Kvaros. Okay, it's a fun topic. We'll just leave it at that. There's a lot to talk about, but it's already getting late. Okay. So back to the Gemara now. Gemara says six lines from the bottom. Alright, Delas, Diyesh Bakama Agrofim, Vikatani Rabbi Huda, Omer, Lo Hayu Mavin, Dlasos, Elishvar. So Rabbi Huda says, doesn't a door have many holes? The doors apparently weren't made as good as our doors are made, but there are many cracks inside the doors. And therefore, there's going to be a natural ohel there.
Saying it has a lot of fistfuls.
Oh, that's what it's saying. Okay, fine. Minakarka ad delas, says Rashi. Ah. From the ground until the delas.
What
that
mean?
The mali, whenever it's mali egrof, which is a bigger, a tevach is this, a mali egrof is a little bit bigger, like that. Behuda says when it's that big of a tevach, when that big of an ohel, even he'll allow a naturally made ohel. Right?
Connection to delet.
So we'll see in a second. So according to that, though, so now the Gemara asks, "Harei delas diyesh ba kama agrofin, v'katani Rabbi Huda omer lo hayu mevin dlasos el shvar." So why wouldn't he allow a delas? Why would he say dafka an ox? He should even allow a delas. Now he should allow a delas either way because a delas is man-made, though.
And it's not made for that. It's not made for that purpose to sit.
And therefore, we wouldn't be considering an ohel, you're saying?
Therefore, we wouldn't be considered as Mekabel Tumah.
Tosa asks this question.
No, but before we said that they put the Dlatot on the Shvarim, no?
Yes.
Like the picture.
Right.
So, Elohim vi Dlatot el Shvarim. Elohim vi Dlatot el Shvarim. So, Rabbi Yodam makes it look like that it was or an ox or a delet.
But it's again,
on top of the ox.
No, I understand. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require the delos; he just requires the ox.
Yeah.
So Tosafot Gemara asks, "What do you mean? There's mali egrof, plenty, a lot of them from the ground until the door. So why doesn't he allow a door? Why does he dafka to say use an ox?"
But it seems.
So,
it seems. But the question is, the Gemara's question is that it's not that Rabbi Yehuda is makel by letting the ox. He's. It seems from this that he doesn't hold of that the door would help.
Right. And I'm asking, but why not? Because the door is man-made. He allows man-made for anything.
Right, but,
so then you answered, what you said was, it wasn't made for an ohel. Rashi says, it wasn't made for an ohel, so it won't serve the function of an ohel. That's what you answered, right?
Yeah, but the space between the axe and the ground is it's more than a tefa for a grove.
Right.
It doesn't make a well to mine anymore.
No, correct. That's the question. Someone asks, so why does he use an ox? Why doesn't he allow you to use a delas? A door should also work, like the Tanakama.
The delet without an ox will not work. Well, who will leave the delet?
No, let's say you put a door on top of the ox.
Why do you need a door?
You're saying, why do you even need it? Why is the question, but why not use it?
That's the Gemara's answer. In other words, in Echanami, you don't need to do it.
Because the ox is good enough.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that's the Gemara's going to answer. Okay. So Gemara says...
the question, you're right, and it's Rashi, the Shetasa Rashi, said it's all about being miskavin lasso, so well, how?
Right.
So the Delos is not, so Gemara's bothered. It's not this miskavin, then Chora should be fine.
Right. That's Rashi, the Shetasa, very good.
Maybe too for the easy ride. It's a flat surface.
Right. It's fun. Who wants to go on an ox? You go on a door. Much more, much riskier. So Gemara answers, like David was suggesting, it means you don't need to. Of course the delos would work. You just don't need to because it's enough to rely the ox was fat enough to serve as an ohel. Rav Amar, lo hayu mavin delosos kol iker. You don't bring a door at all. Why? Shemipunei shedaitel sheltinor gasalav. He's gasalav, he's curious, he wants to know what's going on. Shema Yotzi Rosho Oecha Me'avar V'itama. He's gonna, you know, crawl on the side of the door and look down what's going on. He's scared of the other side, and he's gonna walk over to his mace while his head's hanging over. He's gonna become tamed. If he's on the ox, he's gonna stay stationary. He doesn't want to fall off, so it keeps him safer, and at least from tuma. The kever tum. That was the end of the line here. He might become tamed because of kever hatahom. Tani Kavasi the Rava, there's a brisa that supports the opinion of Rava, the very last one we just said, which states, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo ayu mavin delasas kol iker, bipnei shedaita shatina gasalav, shema yotzi rosho ech me'evarav, v'itamin bekever atom. Ela, mavin shvarim, you bring mitzrim, you bring these Egyptian ox, shekrisosan rechava is very fat, v'atinokos yoshun agabem, and the children will sit on top of this, v'kosis shel evan v'yodem, they have these stone cups, yigil shiluach, they reach the water, yardu malam v'alu, they go down, draw the water, go back on top, and go back and sit on top of the ox, holding on to the water.
They do rodeo with the Egyptian ox.
They do what?
Rodeo.
Rodeo? Seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
Those are Egyptian bulls that they use?
Yeah, that's what I used to want.
Uh-huh, okay. Hirei Mita, asks, Yeshba Kamet Grofim. Now we're going back to the mission finally, after all that. Back there, Mishnah told us that a person sleeps underneath a mita in the sukkah, he's not yotze. Yehuda says one's allowed to. So the Gemara asks, "Bare mita the yeshba kamei grofim? Doesn't the bed have a number of fistfuls below it?" V'tnan, Yehuda omer nagin hayinu shayinu yishenim tachas amita mipnei asikenim b'fnei asikenim. Yehuda said he testified that they used to sleep underneath the beds in front of the elders, and they never said anything to him. So you're allowed to sit underneath the mita. So what's the question here? So according to this,
the mita was more than a male egrof.
Okay.
But I thought we only need a male egrof by a natural.
By a natural, yeah.
Because man-made, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was always an ohel. I guess it wasn't the skavin lasso, so that's the
thing. Let's keep that in mind, though. It wasn't the skavin.
It wasn't the skavin. It's not the purpose of the bed is to be ma'ohel. So only if it's male egrof does it get a shame ohel.
So we see from here, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, this should be an ohel then? And why do you allow you to sleep underneath it? It should be an ohel. That's the question.
We said then that it's because it was ohel arai, and the sukkah is ohel or keva, and that's why they allowed it. Right? That's what we learned yesterday.
But are we connecting this to ohel arai now, or this?
I don't know. But I mean, the only reason you're allowed to sleep under the bed is because it's an ohel arai.
Yeah, I think Gemara's gonna get to that in the Tarek somewhere here.
Okay. So again, it should be, the mita should be an ohel, because even though it wasn't made for the purpose of the ohel, it's still an ohel, and it should, because it's a mali egrof.
Mali egrof becomes an ohel.
So Gemara says, shiny mita dehol v'l'gaba asuya, since it was made for on top, not for the bottom, so that tells us, even though it's a mali egrof, it's not going to work. So even when you're dealing with a non-man-made, it has to be made for, has to be used for the bottom, not used for the top. As opposed to something that has a purpose for the bottom, even though it was naturally made, if it has a purpose for the bottom, not kavanah but a purpose also. So again, I think that
let's say a lot of people put, especially in the Gemara, people used to put stuff on the
Look at the Rashi. Says Rashi. Okay. See, Rashi says this is the first Y line down in Rashi. Lahachi naki gavi mita. Is that where it's bold though? Lahachi naki gavi mita minalim visandalim. Well, Gemara's going to say that actually.
Right.
I jumped ahead. Let's get to the Gemara. Fine. So this is your question. The Gemara says before, that we'll leave that question aside for a moment. The Gemara asks, okay, Well, shvarim nam the gabin asuino. Also, aren't oxen made for the top? It's so wide, it makes it easy to sit on top of it. So it's made for on top, so we should never use anything, view anything below it as being an ohel. To that, the Gemara says, ki asa rabin amar Rabbi Elazar, shiny shvarim, hol maginim al haroim, b'chama b'vnechama, b'gshamim b'neagshamim. The oxen are different because they protect the shepherds in the sun and the rain. From the rain, the oxen could lie down below it and use it as a little bit of umbrella of some sort. So it has a purpose for below it also.
What?
They're very friendly bulls there. Yeah.
Meaning it gets underneath.
Slides underneath. You get protected from the heat, you get protected from the rain.
Okay.
Very, very trained, well-trained oxen.
I wouldn't take the chance.
Okay. So, yeah, if that's the case. Mitanami, this is your question, Ricky. The bed also, hov magina al menolim esandolim shetachdeh. I place my shoes and my sandals below it. So it has a function below it. So once it has a function, it should serve as an ohel. El Amarava. So that's what I was pointing out. Rashi quotes this interesting, the Gemara in Bava Basra. This is four lines from the top. Lahachi naked gabi mita, minal misandalim. Why dafka did they choose the example of shoes and sandals? So he quotes the Gemara, Damin Bava Basra, Ezu mita shal tamen chachim, kol she'ein tachdeh el minal shal baal bayis bimosachama. What's considered the bed of a Talmud Chacham when it only has shoes below it during the sun, during the summer? The sandalim bimosak shamim. So during the rainy season, you wear your rain boots and you leave your sandals underneath the bed. During the summer, you wear your sandals, you leave your rain boots underneath it. That's all that's underneath the bed. Shenosin sham kishu bal shachay velishin chalitz manal venosin tachas mita. You put it underneath the bed. Nobody taught this to us in camp at all. Under camp, we had all these. And in addition to that, other problems leaving food below your bed as well. So in camp, we had plenty of things below the bed.
Well, we thought it was usher, right? There's a hole in
it. It's not usher, but the food becomes tama. Ruach ra, shor alof. I think we discussed this. It comes to a person who brings food to Eretz Yisrael. And he goes, let's say, a lulav eso, that's that you put underneath your seats or in front of you, or food you brought in the suitcase below, and people are sleeping, of course, on the airplane. So you fall asleep, so anything that's below it, or at least below the seat in front of you, put your esok below it. Esok has to be roi la'achila. Now once it becomes, someone sleeps on top of it, it's shorash ruach ra, you can't eat it anymore. Once it's inedible, it can't use it as an esok.
Is it a
shina
sarayda or a
but probably a suitcase.
Are they mechag that way?
A suitcase is probably an entity by itself, maybe.
You might also say, or that the below, there's a chatitz in between, right. But at least the seat in front of you that you put your esok in, so the answer they give is, when it comes to mitzvahs, nothing could get in the way. So it comes to esok, since the purpose of the mitzvah, the ruach ra has no koach. That's the answer that they give. Let's say you're going from Eretz Yisrael, going back to America.
You're taking your hand luggage. You put the hand luggage under your seat, or the next guy's seat.
Yeah. So, you go from Eretz, you buy a nice esso, you come home to America for a sukkah, cheaper and probably better. So you put it in the seat, you don't want to put it in the luggage below, it's going to get crushed. You want to carry it with you as your hand luggage. So you put it in front of you. Okay, so anyways, so that's the meat of a Talmud Chacham, is where only shoes, two sets of shoes are below the bed. So El Amar Rava says no. Shiny shvarim ho v'hasuim lahagin al b'nei me'ayim shalahen. No, the oxen are different because the fat, their bodies, are to protect the innards. Shenemar or ubasar, the skin and the flesh, talbishenu, they should wear. Uba'atmos v'gidim tisuchenu, and they'll be covered by the bones, or the bones and the sinews will be covered. So the point of the ore, the skin and the fat, is to cover the inside, not what's below it, but to cover the inside. That's the function of the shur, not to cover the shepherds sleeping below it, it's to cover the inside. So it's a function below. So that's different than the mita. The mita doesn't have much of a function below, or really much of a function inside. That's the difference between an ox and a bed. Okay. And Rashi says, it's really more of a gzeres hakasav. You see Rashi tisuchenu? Al-Maschach Karile brings a ride from the Pasuk that the skin is considered a schach. That's why it's considered an Noah. Oh, running out of time. Thank you. Okay, let's keep going. Ibais aim alternately, Behuda Omit Latameh. This goes back to what you were saying before. Behuda goes according to his general Shita. Damar Sukkah Adiras Keva. But you need an established Sukkah. Vahavale Mita Diras Arai. But a bed is a Diras Arai. But Sukkah Oil Keva. And the Sukkah is a Keva. So Lo Asi. So, the temporary dwelling of the mita is not going to nullify the sukkah's keva, the dier's keva that Yehuda requires in general. V'har Rabbi Shimon nami sukkah diras keva kevinim. Doesn't Rabbi Shimon also require a diras sukkah to be diras keva, a permanent dwelling? V'asa ol arayim vata ol keva. And he holds that a temporary dwelling, such as the mita, he says earlier in the Masechta, can be mevatel the diras keva. So Gemara says in b'hok pligi. There's a machlokas. You're right. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both agree that you require diras keva. But b'hok pligi, they argue mar sava asa ol arayim vata ol keva. Rabbi Shimon holds a temporary sukkah, temporary dira, namely a mita, can be mevatel the diras keva. Umar sava Rabbi Yehuda, that is, lo asi ol arayim mevatel ol keva, a temporary dwelling, a mita cannot be mevatel a ohel keva.
Rabbi Shimon was in our Mishnah here.
Oh, this Mishnah itself. Yeah. Okay. So Rabbi Shimon in this Mishnah who did not permit you to sleep underneath the mita. Okay. Continues the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ma'isa b'tevi avdo. He brought the story of Tevi Avdo, the famous Eved of Rabbi Gamliel. Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon misichasel Rabbi Gamliel lemanu, from the sicha, from the speaking, the discussion of Rabbi Gamliel, we learn, shnei devarim, we learn two things. Lemanu she'avadim p'tur min ha-sukkah, the Eved's pater. And further, lemanu she'ayashin tachas amita lo yotze de'chavasel, if you sleep underneath a bed, you're not yotze. Those two things. Gemara asks a very strange lashon. V'leima midvarv Rabbi Gamliel. What are you saying? Misichaso. Midvarv is a normal language. Misichaso. Milsa agav arucha. We learn something. Halacha here. Kamash malan kihad amar Rav Acha bar Avda. V'amri le amar Ravada. Rav Acha bar Avda. Amar Rav. Hamnuna amar Rav. Minayin shafil sichas tamidei chacham tzricha limud. How do you know, even the sikha, it's a generic discussions and talks that they have, not from the halacha. But stam, when they're schmoozing, you're supposed to learn from the way they speak. Shenemar va'aleu lo yavol. What that pasuk literally mean? Va'aleu lo yibol. Rashi says, tzricha limud, last two lines in Rashi before the Mishnah, tzricha limud, tzarach lishomam sheyit sikhase Sheyidnu lahen lev. When they just speak in general conversation, you're supposed to pay attention to everything that they say. Valeu davar kal shavu shebo. Even a small little thing that they're saying, lo yibo, I guess it means like lo yibo, don't think it's meaningless. Every word that comes out of their mouth, even the conversations, you're supposed to pay attention. That's why the Brice used the lashon of misichasel shereben gamliel. Even sichas chulin shadvarav, you have to learn from them. That's a level of limud haTorah, I think, even.
So basically, it's giving two answers why it's okay to use the shore and not the why it's okay to use the oval.
The previous case, no, the meat, the bed. Case, going back to the previous discussion, the two reasons why a mito could be used, either because it's a non made for below,
right,
or because it is ohel arai, and ohel arai does not mean mevatel and ohel keva.
On the contrary, mita is used for below.
No, it's not. We're saying it's not.
You said it's not.
The primary use is for the above.
Right. Shorim, they have the...
And the Shorim also. Kasef.
And Shorim will... Right. Okay. But they use the bottom to hold on. They need the bottom to the intestines, for the intestines.
Right, but that's because the Gzeres HaKasef, according to Rashi at least, says it's a pasuk, it's called the schach. We can view the skin as being a schach. But if we have not the pasuk, then since primary use is for the above, we wouldn't consider it to be an ohel.
Okay.
New Mishnah says, which I'll get this in quickly, Hasomech... Ksukasa b'karai mita. You use the poles of a bed to hold the basuka kshera. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im eino yichol lamor b'fnei atma psula. If it can't hold the schach on its own, it's going to be considered pasul. So, what's the machlokas here? So Gemara explains my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why did Rabbi Yehuda disqualify a sukkah that uses the bed poles to hold up the schach? So, Rabbi Zera pligi ba Rabbi Zera Rabbi Abba bar Mamma. Machlokas amaraim. What the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda is? Because it's not keva, it's so using the poles of a bed is not so strong and so sturdy, and it's not keva. Therefore, it's possible Rabbi Yehuda requires diras keva. Because you're using makabel tuma to hold up the schach. Schach itself has to come from something that's not makabel tuma and something that goes from the ground. But once you use something to be mamidah to hold it into place, so then that's going to be disqualified. That's why you can't use the metal poles of a mita. Even
it's one step shut. Oh, here, this picture it is?
Yeah.
So he's taking a bed and just extending it up.
Correct.
Okay.
So two different reasons why it's possible. Either because it's not diras keva or because it's being mamed tzchach. And even saying makabel tuma cannot be mamed tzchach. Very lemais in terms of using different things called the schach, putting schach on top of metal and stuff. So my benai, what's the nafkamina? Kigon shenot shputim shabarzel v'sikach alem. Use metal poles to hold up the schach. Forget the bed, just metal poles, which are makabel tumo. The man damer lefishen la keva hareisha keva. If you have metal poles, it's going to be very much very sturdy, so you can use that. Uman la damer b'vneishem mamidim b'davar makabel tumo hari mamidim b'davar makabel tumo. If you, the reason is because you're being mamid, you're holding up schach with something that's makabel tumo. Well, metal poles are makabel tumo, that would disqualify the schach. Marabai, Bai says and qualifies the above. Lo shanu el samach. It only is true if it's being samach on it. On top of it, there's only if it's mamish. I think on top of it, but if I think the pictures have two different pictures here of somech versus sichech. I think is there.
Because he put additional supports.
Right. If it's additional supports, if that's the sikach agave mita, that's permitted. It's not mamish on top of the walls. It's not using the actual poles. The walls are simply filling in the walls, but
It's not actually supporting the sukkah.
Right.
Okay.
So that's permitted. Again, lo shanu ela samach, aval sikach agave, but you're putting on top of it, but not using them as smicha, then that's ksher, my taima. L'man damar lefish ein lo keva, hareish lo keva, if it's not keva, well, once you have real full walls holding up the schach, that's going to be keva. U'l'man damar b'pesh ma'amida b'davar makabotuma, hare ein ma'amida b'davar makabotuma, you're not using the bed, you're using other poles to hold it up.
Right.